You're listening to the High Spot Podcast presented by Brain Stew Radio. Brain Stew Radio is brought to you by Brain Stew Media. Check out studio rates, online mixing deals, and live sound recording by going to brainstewmedia.com. Brain Stew Radio graphics are designed by Skunk Duck Designs. For all of your graphic art needs, Skunk Duck, no one does it better. Brain Stew Radio is happy to be affiliated with Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars to deliver your high-quality independent pro wrestling. Check out their upcoming schedule at WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And of course, that theme song can only mean one thing. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. And also on the Brain Stew Radio Network. Also, follow that on Twitter at Brain Stew Radio. Lots to talk about today, but I can't do without my tag team partner, the Trendsetter, Brian Berga. How are you today, buddy? How's everything?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing good, man. I was having a so-and-so day, but kind of like what we talked before we came on and did the show. I gotta be honest with you, man. A fire has been lit under me.
Really? A fire in the belly?
Exactly. You know, I kind of come on the show, Jeff, a lot and really talk about, you know, all, you know, what's going on. I have a nice little carefree personality because I try to be carefree and very positive. And obviously, we're talking about something we love a lot, which is, you know, professional wrestling. But I don't know, man. For the last couple of weeks, I've just not been feeling myself. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, last episode we did, I was kind of fighting a cold and wasn't feeling 100%, but still did it anyway.
Gutted it out like a true champion that you are.
Well, thank you. Because it's something we enjoy doing. We wanted to get it out there for everyone to listen to us and catch us on not only on Brain Stew, but on Twitter as well. But what's really getting to me right now is that, Jeff, you've known me for a while now and know that I'm not much of a jealous person. I'm kind of the kind of guy that, I mean...
No, you're always happy for other people.
Happy for other people. But again, at the same time, for people that know me, you know, I'm the kind of person that would, not boasting about myself, give you the shirt off my back if I could. And for the last couple of weeks, maybe month now, because I've been really fighting it, listening to a lot of ignorance out there. And what I mean by that, I won't get into specifics here, and again, it's not a point to, I will eventually when I start doing more hot tag editions myself, because I've been constantly saying I was going to do it, and honestly, it's just laziness. We work really weird hours, so I'm eventually going to start doing more of them, because I have to get a lot off my chest. But basically, the point I'm trying to make, Jeff, is that this is a show, the High Spot Podcast, that you and I wanted to do for the longest time, because I've been in this business of radio for about 5 years now, and this isn't sour grapes or me whining and complaining that I haven't gotten a break or opportunity. This is more the realistic thing. It's been 5 tough years. People don't understand that in this business, especially if you want to be successful in anything, you're going to work a lot of weird hours and do a lot of sacrificing of your time and moments that you want to spend with your loved ones and family and friends. So for me, for 5 years, been doing this, as hard as I've been doing it, Jeff as well, I am just fed up with the fact that, you know what, I'm tired of being the nice guy that I am. But I'm tired of that, because it only gets you so far. If you really want to go out for something, and we've spoken to a lot of great guests, Jeff, that have had dreams and have gone for it, and look where they are now, and they're so much happier than most people who are going to a normal 9-to-5 job, getting a tremendous paycheck, because sometimes it's not always about the money. But in this case, it's about enjoying what you're doing every single day when you wake up. And again, I'm not griping, because I've had a great time doing the show with you, Jeff, but you know, now is the time for me, mark this, because we're reaching 50 episodes now. And to me, by the time we reach 100, this will be, for those of you listening, for those of you who listen to us on Brain Stew Radio Network and follow us on Twitter, I know I've been saying it every single week, but I guarantee you it's going to be on iTunes too. There's going to be merchandise. We're going to go out there on social media and to completely destroy it. This show is going to be the one that everybody wants to be a part of. So for all those people that I get in contact with, and they're always thinking that, and the people who know me and know you and me, Jeff, know that they're not included in this. But for those who always think that I'm trying to, you know, use them for purposes other than just friendship, or for those who think, you know, that I'm just somebody who comes in and helps whenever you can and just a nice guy, whatever, enough of that. I'm tired of it. I have a huge chip on my shoulder, Jeff, and I'll be damned if I see other people, you know, I'm not griping about other people's success. If they deserve it, great for them and good for them. But I know, Jeff, you and I deserve this. I know you and you, Jeff, you and I will be successful in this. And you know what? There's a huge chip on my shoulder. And for any of those who doubt me, I dare you to keep doubting me, because you know what? Jeff and I are going to go up and up and up. And then we're going to be looking back in this episode realizing this was the first mark of why you and I are going to make the High Spot podcast. But more importantly, the Jersey Wrecking Group will be a name that you will all remember. Mark my words, Jeff. So I just had a kind of like an epiphany. No, because I've used that word a lot, but I've had just enough's enough. A person can only take so much, because at the end of the day, it's like with all the guests we've had on. Nobody's going to hand it to you. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Nobody's going to want to extend a handout. Nobody's going to give you an opportunity. You and I, Jeff, we're going to take that opportunity. We're going to do that right now, as we always do when we talk about pro wrestling. And, you know, we had a great Raw. Not, I wouldn't say a great Raw, but a great show of Raw. SmackDown Live. We had No Mercy that last Sunday. So we have a lot to talk about in the world of pro wrestling.
Well, Brian, I know you vented, and I know we could end the show on that point, because there's nothing more to say after that.
And he didn't have for
you. You know, it's kind of funny, though, too. I kind of had not like an epiphany, because I always have an epiphany. I always say I'm going to do something about it. But it's when you don't do it, you know, you don't do it. And that's the worst part of all, when you don't do anything about it and you just talk and talk. And, you know, there's no one to blame, but, you know, like if I'm mad at myself and I don't do anything about it, I just should be mad at myself. There's nobody else to be mad at. There's no excuses. There's no crying at the end of the day, because you know what? At the end of the day, you look in the mirror and that's you. And I had an epiphany as well, too. Just looking in the mirror the other day, and I looked at myself like, what am I doing? You know, why am I not doing this, what I love more?
And believe me, Jeff, this is therapeutic for us. It really is. We've had bad days and long hours and burned the candle at both ends. Doing this show, as tired as we are at sometimes doing it, it's a labor of love like we talked about. I enjoy doing the show. I enjoy sitting here talking to you about wrestling. Not just wrestling. I love talking to you about other stuff that's on our minds that we don't do enough of, but we're going to.
Yeah, I know. And just all the credit in the world goes out to the hard work. You have no idea how much Brian busts his ass to get this show up and running, and just how much, you know, it takes to book the guests, to, you know, just put out a product that people want to listen to, you know, just something that, you know, something good. We don't just want to put garbage out there, you know. We take our time with the guests that we book. We you know, we go all out to give you guys a good quality show. And yeah, you know what, when you think about it, 50 shows, you know, we're heading into now. This is number 49, and we're going to head to number 50. And, you know, yeah, you know, by 100, this High Spot podcast should be up and running and becoming one of the, you know, major forces in just all forms of podcasts.
Well, like, Jeff, sorry, I don't mean to correct you, although I do that a lot sometimes. We're talking about, you know, stuff and certain topics when we want our opinions. But, Jeff, it's not that, you know, if. It is when.
Yeah.
By the time we reach 100, this will be something that will be, you know, on Twitter, it'll be, you know, hashtag go all over, it'll be very viral. And, you know, I look back, I'm not a vindictive person, Jeff, but I look back at the experiences I've had. Not just booking guests, but just experiences, and realize, you know, it's all going to be worth it, because at the end of the day, it's all about investing money in yourself. And when you invest in yourself, Bazanji has said it, I think we've spoken to several people that I've talked about it. You just have to invest in yourself, man. And it's not if, it's when it's going to happen. And like I said, the podcasting world, I like to feel you and I started pretty late on it. We could have jumped on it sooner than we have now. But again, it's just a matter of time for you and I, because this is the future. For those of you who feel they don't have a voice and go out there, and you and I have very much, through our entire careers in this business, been behind the scenes. Now that we have a voice, we have the ability to have that voice heard by all of you guys listening to it, it just gives us more excitement to do it.
And of course, you know, Brian, you spoke your mind, which is something that obviously is something you wanted to get off your chest. And kind of just wanted to tell everybody that part of the last couple of shows, it's been about, you know, chasing your dream, fulfilling it. And it's kind of also like kind of stuck with us too, because we're thinking, man, we got to chase this dream. You know, we got to finally, you know, reap the benefits of all the hard work that we do. And we can't just do it sitting down and then just, you know, sometimes you just have to go for it. Because I think the worst thing is trying and, you know, not even trying. And even if you fail, you know, you tried at least at it, you know. So, you know, and Brian really is one to, you know, kind of have like a calm demeanor. But, you know, hearing you today, it's kind of inspired me too. So hopefully, you know, on to bigger, better things here on the High Spot podcast.
Well, that's probably one of the things that angers me the most, Jeff. A lot of people mistake my calmness, my laid-back personality. I mean, we even joke about, similar to Finn Balor, I'm somewhat of an introvert. I kind of keep to myself. I don't really talk as much as most people would think I would, which we've had interviews with Matt Fox, and he's like, oh, you know, Brian doesn't really say something. It's not that I don't choose to say something. When I'm really passionate, you'll hear we've had certain episodes where I have gone out off my emotion of what I feel about something when I'm fed up with something. But you know what? I'll agree with you to this point. I don't do it enough, though.
No, but when you're here on this show, is you really can tell your personality, and it really comes out. So, I mean, all I've heard is great reviews on your end and about us. We make a good combo, good team, the dynamic duo. So, you know, like I said, the
Jersey
man,
Wrecking Crew.
The Jersey Wrecking Crew. And today's, I guess, more of a recap for No Mercy and just talking about a lot of stuff in wrestling. So, you know, we're going to get right to it, Bri. Man, just powerful stuff in the beginning of the show. But a lot of stuff going on, especially this Sunday. No Mercy, we just saw. And really crazy way to start things off, as the main event started off with Dean Ambrose, John Cena, and AJ Styles in a triple threat match for the WWE World Championship. Listen, kind of felt it was going to end that way with AJ Styles coming out on top. Again, used the steel chair to get the win. I have no issues with it, man. He's a heel, I say. And that's how heels win. And to me, another great performance. AJ Styles is on the very top of his game.
Yeah, for a main event to start the beginning of the show was really unique. I heard rumors going around, Jeff, that it was more about the presidential debate that was going on. The second debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton was the reason why they wanted to do it. I heard rumors they actually wanted to showcase, because prior to No Mercy, everybody was talking about the fact that the Intercontinental Championship match with The Miz and Dolph Ziggler was really going to lead to Dolph Ziggler retiring from the WWE, or not necessarily retiring from wrestling, but basically leaving the WWE, and they wanted to use that as a celebration for Dolph Ziggler's career, which I thought, man, makes sense, because that storyline, believe it or not, was more intriguing than the WWE World Championship match, which is a triple threat match, which we've seen plenty of those. But again, AJ Styles comes out on top, which you and I both hoped for, because I feel AJ has a very lengthy title reign in his future right now, leading even up to WrestleMania. So to see that happen, to see the animosity between Dean Ambrose and John Cena escalating further, which kind of took away from AJ, was just perfect chemistry between the three of them. And again, it ended the way we thought it was going to be. True heel fashion, AJ is still the champ.
I mean, AJ Styles is having a tremendous 2016. I mean, it's just phenomenal. What can you say? No pun intended.
And the funny thing about this, this wasn't in his future. A lot of people thought he was going to be a mid-carder until the crowd and the audience actually were behind him, and then all of a sudden, he jumped up to that main event roster.
It was just a matter of time before the WWE knew what they had in AJ Styles, and they found out and discovered they have.
We knew what he had.
Well, of course we did, but of course WWE, you know, they're going to have the little mentality of what AJ Styles was going to be. But then again, AJ Styles making the huge case to be Wrestler of the Year this year in the WWE. So we'll see what happens there, but still have a few months till we get to that. But again, AJ Styles shows why he is the face that runs the place. And as for Cena and Ambrose, I mean, they can go in a lot of directions here, and I could see them going in a maybe a mid-card match between each other, because a lot of animosity between those two guys, and still a lot of things to get unsettled between the two. And so, you know, we go to, after that, we go to a tag team match where, you know, I kind of thought the Usos needed this because it would really solidify them being heels. Doesn't turn out to be the case, because Heath Slater and Rhino end up defending their tag team, SmackDown tag team championships against the Usos. Hey, listen, I have no problem. I love Heath Slater and Rhino, but again, you know, it just doesn't do the Usos justice. Not at all, as far as heels.
Well, the heel turn was a long ways coming. I mean, the crowd is already against them for the mere fact that they even aligned themselves with Roman Reigns, which begs the question if Roman Reigns has any friends in the back. I'm sure he does, but again, if you want to storyline-wise be friends with him, you basically could talk to the writing staff saying, no, that's going to completely kill my character. Please do not align me with Roman Reigns on television. It's only going to be for the worse. The turn was just maybe a little too late. But again, great that they turned. Like I told you before, Jeff, I think Heath Slater and Rhino have this very interesting dynamic between the two of them, similar to the Rock and Sock connection. I'm not going to put them in that category, but just have that interesting dynamic. They sell. They're funny. The crowd's behind them. They're over. It's kind of replenished Rhino's career, because he came back to NXT, came back during the main roster, and didn't know what was going to happen with him. Heath Slater, the hottest free agent, lines up with him, wins the title, storybook ending, gets a contract. Again, you have to ride this momentum, a little bit similar to like New Day, before they get stale.
And of course, you know, to me, honestly, though, the Usos, if you think about it, they really, really, really needed a you know, a win here just for the mere aspect that you want to take them seriously as heels and you want to, like, stunt their progression. I totally thought that it was much more necessary for them to get the titles here. But, of course, they go in the other direction, which you can't blame them for it because you don't want to take the titles off too fast from Rhino and Heath Slater. But then again, though, the Usos kind of are the more, the team that you have the more, like, the you want to run with the longest here, more longevity. So it's kind of weird that the Usos don't walk away with the titles. But, you know, and then, Brian, questions with your Lars kicker. What's going on with Becky Lynch? Some kind of injury with her that she could not compete at No Mercy. And so, you know, we'll find out what, you know, what's going on with her. But Alexa Bliss and Naomi, Alexa Bliss obviously was supposed to be in action and is an impromptu matchup, and Naomi comes out the victor, and it's kind of weird, man. Like, Alexa Bliss is the number one contender. She's still going to be the number one contender. Mm-hmm. Has a match with Becky Lynch on November 8th. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's kind of weird to have Alexa Bliss lose to Naomi out of the blue. It's just weird to me, man. I just shake my head with that kind of booking.
Well, for my little Lars kicker, like you explained, Joe, I've been checking the internet, constantly trying to find out, you know, if they had reports came out of specifically what was causing Becky Lynch to not be able to perform and defend her title. Still nothing. She was in a hospital. She was in a bed. She sent out a tweet pic thanking for all the people for all their support. And the main event match for the SmackDown Women's Championship will be rescheduled. But I don't know. I don't think this hurts Alexa Bliss. I mean, she came out, basically used it to her advantage, saying that Becky Lynch was afraid to face her because she did have the one upsmanship with her several weeks prior to No Mercy. And then, you know, what a great opportunity for Naomi to come out there. She's been kind of lost in the shuffle, so in a way Alexis Bliss's loss just basically puts more notice on Naomi. It doesn't hurt Alexa Bliss because she's still the number one contender. She still has the one upsmanship against Becky Lynch, and you know, you could have asked for a better situation too, because now they'll be fighting on SmackDown Live. A title will be defended on SmackDown Live. Has great dynamic to it too. So as much as you were upset they didn't get to see this match, I think they, you know, you couldn't save it, but they found a good way to kind of sidetrack it to now what we're going to face eventually in November.
You know, and of course, Nikki Bella comes out with Victor over Carmella. Kind of felt a little weird on that. Thought it would be great for Carmella to come out to Victor. Well, you get Nikki Bella, who I guess kind of gets some form of revenge on the Princess of Staten Island.
Yeah, not to mention, too, Jeff, that we also had somebody else who, to me, is in dire need of repackaging in some way. Baron Corbin has a look about him, but, you know, defeats Jack Swagger. Talk about a character you can, you know, do something with, but right now it just seems to be failing.
I mean, there was nothing more you can say than you said right there, man. Because
yeah, it's not interesting on the mic. Just, I don't really care for what this product is in the ring.
You'd like Jack Swagger to come out with new music or something, man. But it's still
maybe
the same
where
the people gimmick, man. I mean, nothing against Jack Swagger as a wrestler, man. But I'm just thinking, you know, here's a chance to repackage the guy. You know, give him a different look, different music. But no, it's still the same We the People chant.
That's what I thought when he first came out on SmackDown. Had his jeans, you know, had a nice, he was looking nice and sharp. Then he comes out to the same song, comes out with the same ring gear, the same haircut. I'm like, give me something different here.
Yeah. I mean, well, what can you say? I mean, it's just, you know, it's Baron Corbin and Jack Swagger. I mean, nothing more than just turn the page on that. And, of course, we go into, of course,
a match that I thought should have been the main event, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, I just figured we could start with, because I was really impressed by Ziggler and The Miz, so I kind of want to leave that last.
Okay.
But
can we agree we both thought it should have been the main event?
Should have been the main event. We're going to treat it like the main event because mm-hmm. that's how we're going to, you know, wrap up the No Mercy recap. Listen. To me, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, my biggest shocker is that Bray Wyatt actually won a pay-per-view match, a feud, the start of it at least. Luke Harper returns to cost Randy Orton the matchup. Bray Orton. That'd be funny if they're all, you know, they combine themselves. But, you know, Bray Wyatt comes out the victor. I guess this feud is going to continue, but it's good to see Bray Wyatt at least get, you know, just a win in something like major.
I think it gets to the point, Jeff, where we're just so desperate for Bray Wyatt to come out on top. We don't care how it happens, just as long as it happens. This had a pretty good build-up to it, Jeff. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Randy Orton definitely put some time into it. He's never been known for his promos, but when he really dived into the world of Bray Wyatt and the dark, ominous type of character that he is, Randy Orton did a really good job kind of working his, you know, sinister, methodical, menacing type of mind games back and forth. The all-around match, though, I can't say that I was ultimately impressed. Again, I was really just worried about the end result. Luke Harper comes back. And here's the thing, Jeff. Eric Rowan gets injured, has to deal with shoulder surgery. And now we have Luke Harper come back. So they just interchange these guys. Like, these guys can't separate themselves from the Wyatt
family.
It's a merry-go-round. So now, basically, when Eric Rowan comes back, we're going to have the original Wyatt family on SmackDown. And Braun Strowman is now on Raw. I don't get it. They're all interchangeable parts, I guess. And great to see Luke Harper back, but you thought maybe another singles go-around was in the works for him, but I guess not.
Look, to me, they had gold with the Wyatt family. To me, it's unfortunate the rash of injuries that they're going back and forth. When they're together, you have a chance to make a great stable. I thought that Luke Harper and Eric Rowan were a great tag team. I thought they were...
We thought they were going to be tag team champion
materials that never came to fruition. I don't know how that, you know, hasn't happened, but we'll see what happens. I still think they can be salvaged, unlike my other team, the Bullet Club and you know, Gallo Anderson. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, to me, let's see what happens when these three get together, hopefully. And, of course, Eric Rowan's going to be out like 4 to 6 months with a shoulder injury, so we wish him a speedy recovery. But, you know, right now, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton is a good feud because they're telling a story. It's telling a story, at least. You can get invested into it. You know, the Viper and Bray Wyatt, we'll see what happens. But to me, it's a tolerable feud that I can, you know, maybe stand for another, you know, pay-per-view or two. But another match that told a great story and that really took its time and built up through pay-per-views and actually made you want to watch and had people wondering, is Dolph Ziggler going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he going to become the champion? Is he going to take a job backstage? Is he going to be a comedian? Is he going to be a politician? We were wondering what was going to happen to Ziggy. And you know what? To me, it was a good match. The fans were chanting, this is awesome. A lot of people, though, are gonna ask, Bri, was it the right move to take the title away from a guy that's been red hot with the Intercontinental title, and that is The Miz losing to Dolph Ziggler, title versus career?
I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that, believe it or not, The Miz has brought a lot of prestige to a very not-so-prestigious belt. The Intercontinental title is known to have the best workers always be around it. And
that was the case at one point.
At one point, that was the case back in the 90s. But, you know, the 90s, and now we're in 2016, soon to be 2017. That is not the case. But The Miz has helped out, has improved that. So to put on Dolph Ziggler, storyline-wise, yeah, it made sense just because, you know, it gave the fans a little bit of anticipation of what was going to happen. We don't have many moments, Jeff, now, because we all like to feel like we're smart marks. We want to read the dirt sheets. We all on the websites, you know, Jeff, you and I are. We are all our own bookers. But the mere fact that we went into this kind of thinking, whoa, is Dolph, are they actually going to go through with this? He's going to end his career, similar to like a Macho Man Randy Savage. Not that Dolph is in the echelon, but similar to that, a career-ending match. Are we actually going to see this? Either way, the fans were at the edge of their seats. I was actually anticipating watching, wow, is this going to be it? Is this the finish? Is it going to be screwed again? So long story short, it lived up to the billing. You might not like the way it ended, but at the same time, just because The Miz lost doesn't mean any more relevancy to the title is not there anymore, because this rivalry is going to still continue. It might continue for maybe two more matches on pay-per-view. I don't want to see it flip-flop back and forth. So if The Miz wins it again in a rematch, then The Miz should stay with it for a little bit longer and Dolph can move on maybe to possibly another program. But this, hopefully, the idea of this was to revamp Dolph Ziggler's character, which has been kind of stale. I don't know if it'll happen with this move. I thought if he had left, like you and I talked about, and they got repackaged later on, that might be the right move. But again, all in all, you wanted a great match. You wanted a show stealer, and this was a show stealer. It's just showing how good Dolph Ziggler, and more importantly, how good The Miz really is.
You know what? Everyone on Twitter was saying it better be a meaningful feud, or it better be a meaningful title run for Dolph Ziggler, or else the title's been taken away from Miz for naught. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, congratulations to Dolph Ziggler. Hopefully it is a meaningful title run here. Hopefully the chase between The Miz and Ziggler continues. As we saw on SmackDown today, Spirit Squad is still in full effect.
Sure, they're enjoying it. They're getting a paycheck.
Kenny Dykstra, who would have ever thought Kenny Dykstra would ever be in a WWE ring again, especially in a show where John Cena is on?
Exactly. But I guess, you know, time heals all wounds. And, you know, at the end of the day, to paycheck, so you're gonna, you know, swallow your pride a little bit sometimes, I guess. And again, how long ago was it? So we all kind of forget, we move on with our lives. So good to see Kenny Dykstra. Who's the other guy?
I forget, but he's still overweight
now.
But
yeah, like, so at least
he's
Kenny,
so not the same
at least
guy.
Kenny looked like he still works out and still physically fit to do it. So who knows? Maybe he's working for a contract. Who knows? Yeah. This could be his opportunity. But yeah,
good for Kenny Dykstra, man.
Yeah, good for him.
So that is the recap of No Mercy, man. Not No Mercy, man, but No Mercy.
I like that. No Mercy, man.
No Mercy, man. Drink it in, man. And of course, in a little bit, we're going to debut a segment called You Made the List. You're on the list, so I can't wait for that one.
I can't wait either.
Raw, man. And I'm in that mood to drink it in. Your impressions of Raw. You know,
it's
luckily
too long of a show. Those are my impressions.
We're gonna start the show, and the way you were talking, it felt like it's Cage, a Hell in a Cell, was gonna drop down on us right now. And funny thing is, somebody on Twitter also put, "Did Mick Foley get the wrong show because not TNA Lockdown, but Hell in a Cell?"
Yeah,
a lot of matches are gonna be contested in Hell in a Cell at Hell in a Cell in a few weeks. Your thoughts, Rusev and Roman Reigns for the U.S. title.
Yeah,
you have Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship in Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the one that's going to catch a lot of notoriety is, for the first time ever, a woman's Hell in a Cell for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Your thoughts?
Wow. Well, you know, that obviously kicked off Raw and the very long three-hour Raw where Sasha Banks came out, you know, again, hearing the cheers of "You Deserve It," getting emotional, talking about how, you know, Eddie Guerrero was her hero, and that a lot of it influence came from Eddie Guerrero, wishing him a happy birthday. And, you know, every day, Jeff, I miss Eddie Guerrero, man. He was one of probably the best in the world.
Would have been 49, so happy birthday, Eddie.
Yeah,
we
happy,
love you.
Happy birthday, Eddie. We really do miss you. Viva la raza. But anyway, talked about her historic match with Charlotte, how there's going to be a rematch, and wanted it to be Hell in a Cell. Mick Foley obviously confirmed it. What I think about this, Jeff, I think this has the potential of being a main event. You know, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Bayley, this whole women's revolution, you can see it on the network on WWE 24, free plug there. I really feel they have the makings of making this Hell in a Cell, which all the main matches seems to be in the Hell in a Cell, that's to be the main event. So the Universal title will take a back seat to this because
you think it's going
to
be the main event?
I think so, because this is the first time ever two women are actually going to be in a Hell in a Cell together. So I think it has more historical factor in that point that it will be the main event, the pay-per-view.
I think it'll be Rollins and Kevin Owens. Think it will be.
All right, it might be, but the mere fact that the way they're pushing this, of the historic basis behind it, I could see this being the main event. And, you know, to me personally, Jeff, this has to be it between Charlotte and Sasha.
Why not? Can't you see them wrestle like 100 more times?
Nah, I can't see them wrestle 100 more times.
They're
doing
history.
Great, but they have to part ways for a while now. This isn't like Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair. I'm sorry. They're both very talented, but this isn't the same thing where I can watch them wrestle.
The next thing will be an Iron Woman match, 2 out of 3. There's still a lot of ways they can go with this.
Okay, well, you know, obviously you're living in La La Land, Jeff, like you always do. But in the same
token,
there's
the Brian I know and appreciate.
For the Universal title, like the storyline was going in, I've been against triple threat matches because we see him too many times, but I would have actually been interested to have seen Chris Jericho in this. There have been rumors, the fact that he's going to leave after Hell in a Cell, so to me, what better way to kind of bid adieu to Chris Jericho for a little bit, who knows, maybe forever, in this kind of a match, with having the dynamic of Kevin Owens, Jericho, and Seth Rollins. To me, I still can't buy Seth Rollins as a babyface right now. He just, you know, he's done so much to kind of be the antagonist. To see him in that role, I could have seen it when he came back from injury, but now, it doesn't feel right for me. And as for, you know, Rusev and Roman Reigns, yeah, this is a rivalry that should have never really ended. But again, I know due to injury, you had to put Roman Reigns back in the main event picture. But this one, it's kind of weird. Like Rusev has a new like do, and he looks like really weird. He looks more like Amish kind of thing with his beard hanging out there. He shaved his mustache. So I don't know where this one's going. I really feel Roman Reigns is going to end up on top. And maybe one more match between the two of them. And then you like to see, can Roman Reigns bring some relevancy back to the U.S. title? I don't know.
Well, the rivalry has to end, right? The rivalry has to end, though, right?
I don't know. Like, you seem to be quoting me.
No, I'm just saying, though. Like, obviously, the rivalry's got to end because they've been in Hell in a Cell. They've gotten no contest at SummerSlam. They've gone back and forth, so it's got to end soon.
Yeah, well, you posed the question to me, and then you're like, oh, the rivalry's got to end. Yeah, okay. Well, how do you see this? Because you're the one spouting out the questions, want to get my 2 cents, but that's just the easy way to hide behind. Give me your opinion.
Oh,
what's
I'm not
your
hiding,
opinion?
Man. I'm just waiting for your prolific answers. What do I think is going to happen with Roman Reigns and Rusev, well, the best part about this is that we're 2 weeks away, so I don't have to give it to you. I can just tease till next week what exactly I think the outcome is going to be.
Which is basically your way of saying I have no idea what's going to happen.
And, no freaking clue, man. Not a freaking clue.
I don't want to bother giving an answer.
So anything else capture you on Raw, for example, like TJ Perkins and the Brian Kendrick are still continuing their rivalry, the Cruiserweights, you know, are continuing to display their, you know, their talents and everything like that.
No, anything you know else? Why? Because I feel Perkins and Brian Kendrick have to end this rivalry and they have to move on. You wise ass you. But no, I mean,
you just can't take a joke. So you're steamed.
No, I'm not steamed, dude. It's hot in the studio, but no, I'm not steamed. I don't know. I don't think the cruiserweight title is as much as I appreciate the cruiserweights. I don't think Raw's promoting them as best as they could right now. Because again, I'm not getting excited for it. I think Perkins and Brian Kendrick will have a great match, but how many more times do we have to see this? Let's promote this a little bit more. They're not getting enough airtime, unfortunately, in a 3-hour show. To kind of give us more of who Perkins is. I mean, they do great packages and video packages of who Brian Kendrick and TJ Perkins are, but can we get more dialogue than the two of them sitting in a room in a locker room, which is kind of weird?
See, I like that. I thought it was good. I
want to see more of it, though.
It was a little too like predictable towards the end, but you kind of like the dynamic that those two cruiserweights were given an opportunity backstage.
I love how Brian Kendrick was like, I was just getting up, and he punched me in the face, which you could kind of see that way. He wasn't going for a punch. He was maybe just going to move
Perkins
and get up.
Perkins was defensive there.
But so you know what? I like the fact that
I like the fact that they're getting a chance to tell the story, you know, in the locker room. So to me, I think they're getting airtime. I just think that the crowd needs, I don't know how they're going to do it because the WWE is trying to give them backstories, right? I just don't know what else they need to do to make it a little bit more interesting for the fans, because the fans are not reacting, in my opinion, to the cruiserweights, which they deserve to have, you know, the highest of ovations and applauses, because I think they're doing a heck of a job. I just don't think that WWE's, the crowd is invested in, and that just sucks, man. Get invested in it, man, because it's pretty good stuff.
Well, something everybody's invested in right now, I want to get your opinion on this, Jeff, is that, you know, for the longest time, we've been waiting, when is Paul Heyman going to come out? He finally came out on Raw and announced the fact, I guess it was promoting the whole Suplex City video game that's coming out here, how Brock Lesnar had informed him to go out there and to remark on the comments that Bill Goldberg had made when he was on ESPN with Jonathan Coachman about Brock Lesnar and how if he possibly ever considered about coming back into the ring at 49 years old, that he would want to go against Brock Lesnar and feel he owed him that one since he's one up on him. Paul Heyman came out and basically issued a challenge to Brock, not to Brock Lesnar, to Bill Goldberg, that Brock Lesnar wanted him again and he was going to take him to Suplex City. It was going to be the Beast versus the Man, Goldberg, and the crowd
icon
seemed pretty
versus Icon.
Yeah, the crowd seemed pretty into it. What are your thoughts? And not only after that, a few minutes after that, Bill Goldberg sent a tweet out saying that he was already booking his flight and he was going to Raw next week to answer Paul Heyman's challenge, which reports have already come out that Bill Goldberg will come back in the ring. It'll possibly be him and Brock Lesnar. Does this make sense to you, Jeff? Is this something you want to see? Will it make money? Obviously, probably will. I mean, what are your thoughts when you first heard the announcement?
Well, we talked about this last week, and the idea was the myth of Bill Goldberg. He's 49 years old. All right, you don't know exactly what kind of shape he's in. Obviously, the guy still looks good at 49 for his age.
He's in good shape, you know, but he's not the Bill Goldberg that we know.
Exactly. So the mystique, as Eric Bischoff spoke about it a while ago, about Bill Goldberg ever returning to the ring, the mystique, is it still that Goldberg you remember? You don't know. To me, honestly, it feels like they're just running out of opponents for Brock Lesnar. To me, honestly, it's a reek of desperation because it's still marketable. People are going to watch it. I'm going to watch it too. You know, I will watch it. But to me, the aspect changes because Paul Heyman is in the middle of it. He can promote it. And if you noticed, and one little subtlety that he did, Paul Heyman, the crowd was excited. But when Paul Heyman went, Goldberg, go, he just, the psychology of this man that actually got the fans to say the name Goldberg, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the man is a genius, you know, and to me, I think with him behind it, I think it's going to draw money and it's going to be interesting. It is interesting already and I will watch it, but to me, I just wonder if, because we know WrestleMania 20, the matchup was so-so. Okay, I wouldn't even. I mean,
that's even painted lightly, right there.
It was tough to watch. They got booed out of the ring, both guys. Sometimes people just don't gel. I don't know if these two guys will gel in the ring, but I will be watching, whether it's at Survivor Series or in person at WrestleMania.
I'll tell you what happened when Paul Heyman went out there and said the Goldberg line you mentioned. He had a spiritual orgasm. That's what he had. That's how he describes it. I mean, how could you not? Because you're having everybody in that arena, and it wasn't a sellout, but do that Goldberg chant, which had been so long. The thing that really irked me, too, is like they used his old theme music, the one he came for the WWE. They didn't use his WCW music.
No.
I was like, come on. How long ago is WCW? Can't use his old music. I mean, you use that in the preview for 2K17. Give me a break. But anyway.
And one of the other things, too, is nostalgia. How much more can... Because think about this. Those fans, we're in our age right now. We are in our 30s. It's not that same age group anymore. Do the fans still remember Goldberg? That's the question.
And more importantly, what are you going to expect from this match? Because, again, it's Goldberg at 49 years old. Are we so desperate now for having people come in way past their career to get back in the ring? Now, I don't know. We'll find out as the weeks go by how this plays itself out. But, you know, talking about the return now of Goldberg, another return we had on SmackDown Live, Jeff, which is somebody who I know you want on the roster so badly.
I just want on the freaking show so badly.
Mind telling us who that is, Jeff?
James Ellsworth, man. You told me that James Ellsworth is now the number one contender for AJ Styles' title. He's going to get a title shot next week on SmackDown Live. Is this honestly the truth? Are you speaking the truth?
Would I lie to you, Jeff? Of course it's the truth, because it makes the perfect sense of why you would do this. I mean, AJ Styles comes out, does his victory speech of how he beat Dean Ambrose and John Cena. Similar to how Jericho would say, I beat The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin the same night. Comes out, wants to give an opportunity to an unknown. Dean Ambrose is not done with AJ Styles by any stretch of the imagination, and James Ellsworth is given an opportunity. Non-title match against AJ Styles. Daniel Bryan comes out and gives Dean Ambrose the honor of being the special guest referee. And what does that mean? AJ Styles is going to get screwed over. He gets hit twice with the dirty deeds, and James Ellsworth hits the most... This is bigger than Horowitz beating Skip from the Body Donis, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, definitely much
bigger.
It's
like Horowitz wins all over again. He now has beaten the champion and will get a number one contender shot opportunity next week against AJ Styles. I mean, at the end of the day, it's great for the guy, James Ellsworth. We'd love to have, we'd love to get him on the show. We've been trying to reach out to him. What a great opportunity for him. He just caught lightning in a bottle. The crowd's really for him. He's really over with them. They want to see him get those opportunities. But again, we're all dreaming to think the fact that AJ Styles is going to lose the world title here to James Ellsworth. No, sorry, no insult to him. But again, it's just, it helps continue it, because I think they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. I don't want to see a Dean Ambrose AJ Styles match again. I kind of want to venture to a different course. We can come back to that later. I mean, my first question to you, Jeff, is, what do you think of that storyline with James Ellsworth getting the upset win over AJ Styles? And second, what do you think is next? Who's the next competitor for AJ?
I don't like it in the fact that AJ Styles should not be made a joke out of. And all due respect to James Ellsworth, I love the guy. Tons of credit. Respect. Again, another guy living out his dream, and he's accomplishing it. Who can say that they've had the opportunity to fight AJ Styles for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship? I mean, that is fulfilling your dream. Much respect. But I do not like the way that they use this comedic skit or, you know, segment on AJ Styles. I don't like him being the butt of jokes, because he is, to me, the best thing you've got going. So I do not like the fact where they're either making a joke out of it, whether they're making a joke at his expense. I'm just not a huge fan of it. Who his next opponent will be, it looks like it's going to be Dean Ambrose. To me, that's what it looks like it's going to be.
Can you see anybody else after Dean Ambrose?
You know what? I think, honestly,
that's something I've been trying to think of, too. And
I'm racking my brain. Maybe he's already involved with Ziggler. I'm thinking it's Orton. But he's invested in with Bray. What I like about SmackDown is they're really prolonging feuds.
Yeah.
It's lasting a while, so everyone's still invested in somebody. And I don't know who else could challenge AJ Styles that would, you know, be interesting if it's not John Cena or Dean Ambrose. So I'm going to stick with saying Dean Ambrose gets another shot down the road.
Well, I mean, talking about SmackDown now in terms of big announcements, I mean, we knew the big announcement for Raw was the return of Goldberg, and we had a little fun with James Ellsworth coming back, and, you know, again, an opportunity for the world title next week on SmackDown. But another huge thing that's going on is, before you know it, guys, WrestleMania season will be fast approaching. And Jeff and I are already excited and getting ready for it as well. But the thing is, prior to that, everybody talks about the Royal Rumble being the first, you know, the first the step to the WrestleMania, the road to WrestleMania. I get it, because, you know, it's for the main event. But to me, it really starts with the Survivor Series. And, you know, General Manager and Commissioner Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan came out and actually issued a challenge to Raw, wanting to have a traditional five-person elimination match. Not only the best male competitors, five male competitors from Raw and SmackDown, but again, the best five female and the best five tag teams. What do you think of that announcement, Jeff? And in terms of booking standpoint, is this something that you kind of want to shine off since the rivalry is still new? Does it bring new emphasis to the rivalry as if supposed the WWE is competing with itself?
I like it to the fact where they're keeping the traditional Survivor Series, you know, match. I think it's a lot of people like it. They miss it. They hate it when it was just basically a regular card. Every match kind of has like its own meaning. Like Royal Rumble has a 30-man over the top Royal Battle Royal. WrestleMania is the granddaddy of them all. SummerSlam is the, you know, summertime WrestleMania. And Survivor Series used to be the, you know, the teams of five that strive to survive, you know, all that stuff. And then there used to be the teams of four. And then when it was Raw and SmackDown, they'd have, like, you know, kind of like a little bragging rights thing. But to me,
They had a pay-per-view called Bragging Rights.
I like this. It's kind of fresh, but yeah, it's tradition. I like it. The only thing I wonder is just exactly who the top five guys, if they're still gonna have championship matches, who are the top five guys on SmackDown? You can go a lot of directions on Raw. Who are the top five guys on SmackDown?
This is why I'm kind of against it. You know why, Jeff? Because as much as we like the dynamic between Raw and SmackDown and them competing against each other, what I don't like is what you just said. There's not enough roster depth on SmackDown to compete with Raw with the roster depth they have. So it would have made, for me, more sense, because the Survivor Series that you and I watched when we were younger, I liked it because it was like the King's Court against the Hart family. And like there's some rivalry in between that caused these five competitors to join. I would have preferred if SmackDown would have had their own rivalry where their five best of their same brand sticks just with it. So you have a 5-on-5 elimination just for SmackDown competitors and one for Raw and vice versa. But again, like you said, the roster depth's not that big right now where they can't do it. I would have preferred that. But in this case, you know, if I'm Raw or SmackDown, I'd just be interested to see who wins. Who have the best women? Who have the best men? Who has the best tag team? Now, if you and I were just kind of writing this on a piece of paper, I think the best tag teams are on SmackDown Live.
It's funny how all of a sudden you start watching Raw last week, and all of a sudden Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel become a team again.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn and Neville are becoming a team again. Maybe it's so that they can have somebody to fight with at Survivor Series. You know, maybe it's so they can add the depth on Raw, because definitely this depth is on SmackDown.
For tag teams, exists.
But how about this? How about this free booking advice for you, Brian? How about Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon come out with Bill Goldberg on Monday Night Raw? How about they say, if you want, you can come visit Goldberg on the SmackDown brand. And that way you have a rivalry between Brock Lesnar representing Raw and Bill Goldberg representing SmackDown.
I like that a lot. I really do. But the only thing that comes to mind is this a one and done for Bill?
We might see him for WrestleMania. But I think it's just too...
Is this match worth saving for us? Because it didn't work at WrestleMania 20, but is this match worth saving for WrestleMania?
I think what the WWE is doing, and they're doing, is being smart. They're treating Survivor Series like the fourth pay-per-view as it should be. To me, I think it's... At first, I was like, well, save it for WrestleMania. You know what, though? For this one, I'm fine with the Survivor Series. Make Survivor Series important again. Make Survivor Series great again. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, they're
so
trying to make the Royal Rumble great again, too.
Say it with me. Make Survivor Series great again. And I think that will help.
And put it on Thanksgiving, too.
Oh, man.
I still love when it was on Thanksgiving.
Remember they said it like on Thursday or Wednesday night before?
I still remember Gene Okerlund doing like the intro to it. And Thanksgiving weekend, so by eating your turkey and your stuffing, you're watching the Survivor Series, and hopefully not the gobbledygooker. But, I completely agree with that. It, you know, it just made me reflect back in my youth of like, man, those are the great times to have. But yeah, makes sense. It made great sense and great momentum to obviously bring some momentum back to SmackDown Live, because again, you and I constantly go over and over again, the rosters are not equal. And right now, having Bill Goldberg on SmackDown and having Survivor Series basically have SmackDown pitted against Raw would make complete sense.
There's got to be a way that Bill Goldberg represents SmackDown, man. Also, too, really quickly, too.
Do we see him in the tights?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? 49? Like, right now, No, of course not. But again, Shawn Michaels is not going to go
fight,
back.
Jeans?
Wear jeans. Maybe make it a street fight. That's the only way you can save the mystique of Goldberg. Because if he's wearing those tights, he's not going to compare to Brock Lesnar.
I like that, man. And now, of course, we come to something that's repetitive. Paige has been suspended 60 days for violating the wellness program. Your thoughts? She said she had a lot to think about. Well, a lot to say, too, saying that... you know, same old blankety blanks. You know, what do you think, man? And Alberto Del Rio also said the same thing. She's getting picked on.
Yeah, I didn't read the statement Alberto Del Rio said. Well, I guess we can't call him Alberto Del Rio anymore, right?
Alberto El Prat, El Proper. Alberto El Patron, man.
Patron, exactly. I was about to say, you're Spanish, too. You should be able to say that.
El Presidente.
Yeah, I kind of agree with it. I don't know why she's getting picked on, but it really seems like they're trying to set an example, and Paige is the example. And then maybe it might be with her rebellious attitude. She's not one to conform to authority. You know, and this isn't a storyline. It's kind of true. And she always likes to go against the grain. So maybe they're trying to set an example with her. Her family's come out publicly on social media completely upset about not only the fact that she got suspended for something that was completely false.
They're prescribed painkillers for her neck injury that she's suffering. They want her to get treatment in the UK for the injury. They feel like they've kind of been misled here in the United States on the injury. And to me, honestly, there just comes a point. I have nothing against her. Nothing, you know, but the WWE and them, they sometimes it's just better to part ways. And maybe somewhere down the road, if it leads back again, she's 24, she's still young. Part ways. Don't even do the 90-day compete. Just let it go. Let her go on someplace and then open the door again, because right now it's kind of nasty. It really is.
It's going to get nasty. It's similar like Jeff when we talk about players going to arbitration. Yeah. It's already there. But you know how players go into arbitration and just gets nasty in there too, and after the end of it, whether it be a one-year deal, whatever, you work out your contract, it's never the same relationship. You just want to part ways. This is the same thing. No matter what happens at the end of it and Paige is still with the company and decides to get back in the ring, it's not going to be for the better. But again, you know, the WWE came out with a statement stating that, you know, it wasn't for a prescription drug. She had an illegal substance in her system.
Really?
Which she was suspended for too. So it's now, what are you deciding? And also the fact that they've stated too that she's been getting the best medical care for her neck injury, which was another issue her family was having, that she wasn't getting the right treatment, which is why they wanted her to go back to the UK. I don't know. It depends on what side you want to believe on. Do you want to believe in the machine, the WWE, or do you want to believe in Paige and her family and what they're dealing with right now? Kind of hard, but both sides are obviously claiming that they're in the right. And again, she's going to live out the 60 days. But again, the 60 days is completely irrelevant. You know why? Because from what we've heard in reports, she's nowhere near close to coming back in the ring.
No, she's got
to
get the neck checked out.
She's probably going to get surgery on the neck, too.
So when we see Paige, who knows? Her contract might expire by the time we see Paige, but then again,
might be, and maybe that's what they're working for.
WWE will keep her because they owe her. Because
if you're in suspension, does that mean we don't have to pay you?
No, I'm not really sure.
I have to look into that. Yeah, that. It might be that's the reason they're trying to save their money. It's like fantasy football. Or,
well, Del Rio's making the rounds, though, and he's been talking, not getting in full depth, but, you know, Paige has been with him here around here in New York. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But like I said, sometimes you just got to part ways. Just like me and Brian will part ways once we're successful and we'll go into individual shows.
Well, I think we're already at the cusp of that, Jeff. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, but it's going to happen soon.
So now we've been talking about it. I've been putting it on Twitter for a long time, and I want to play You Made the List. So basically what this is Chris Jericho, of course, has given us the gift of Jericho so many times, and just him and his comedic timing with Kevin Owens has inspired me to put people on the list. Now, whether it's good or bad, you will be on the list. And I was teasing, could it be you? Could it be me? Could it be our listeners? Someone was going to go on the list. So basically, I'm airing my grievances. And do you want to start, my friend, or do
no,
you
no,
want
to? No, you start. Because, again, this is new to me, too, so we haven't really gone to the details of what the list entails.
Okay, so
is
to
it
me,
somebody, it's somebody on our shit list or something like that?
Someone on our, yeah, someone okay. That we want to air our grievances on. Now, to me, honestly,
I don't think we have enough time for my list.
Well, I was going to go with political, and I was going to go with Billy Bush, the whole thing with him and Trump and stuff like that. But you know what? I'm not going to go there. I want to be in a good mood. I don't want to get political, so I'm not going to go there. So to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with Josh Lambeau. Now, let me tell you something about the San Diego Chargers. They could not have started off worse this season at 1-4. They botch a field goal snap, and then all of a sudden, Josh Lambeau, once they're done, is found at the 50-yard line looking for his, I guess, good friend Sebastian Janikowski, and they're caught, and he's caught on camera laughing it up with his buddy, which did not sit well with San Diego Charger teammates. It didn't sit well with Philip Rivers and the coaching staff. Now, Coach Mike McCoy had to sit down and talk to Josh Lambeau. He realizes his mistake, but still, you find another way to lose. Your team is 1-4. Botch snap by the placeholder. It's just a disaster in San Diego. They don't need this, especially when the team is going to move if they don't have a successful season in San Diego. Successful season in San Diego, and this guy's laughing. And for that, Josh Lambeau.
You know what? You just made the list.
Thank you. And that is my first ever inductee into the list.
You have to write it down.
Josh Lambeau.
Okay.
San Diego Chargers field goal kicker.
Do you really need five exclamation points?
So mad again. We had Josh Lambeau with an O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One more time. Josh Lambeau.
You know what? You just made the list.
Thank you.
I would have loved that sound effect.
We're going to miss him when he's gone.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that. I'll spend another hour just kissing Jericho's ass right now as we're talking about him and how much I'm going to miss him. But, okay. I see you didn't want to go in the political aspect field. I get it, Jeff. I get it. But I will. I'll dive into it.
Oh, you will.
Because I'm not afraid right now. Like I said, I got that chip in my shoulder, and it's pretty damn big. And, you know, I dare somebody to knock it off. I really do. I'm going to tell you who's on my list. You know, Jeff and I, we've had some pretty interesting people on the show. Matt Fox has been like a three-time appearance on the show, and we love to talk to him about not just politics, but just views in general, because we always try to have an open forum and really be respectful of our philosophies, our ideologies of certain things, our political views, our religious views. I mean, we don't dive into that deep, but again, we try to be respectful of how somebody else has an opinion. And when it comes to this political debate right now and this race for the presidency, it's getting pretty heated. A lot of people are throwing words out there, and it's getting more personal than anything. To me, it's being more focused now on attacking every single person personally and their character rather than what are the views. Our economy is shot. We're having issues galore, and nobody wants to talk about them. All they want to do is take shots at each other. So I recently went on Twitter and social media and realized that one of the actors that I really enjoy, Mr. Robert De Niro, again, he's very strong. He's very strong on the Democratic side. He loves Hillary Clinton. Hey, good for him. If you want to support Hillary Clinton, good for you.
But the mere fact,
yeah, Hillary Clinton. Sorry, I have a lisp. But if you want to go whatever political view you want, that's fine. That's up to you. If you like Pepsi or Coke, it's up to you. So I have no problem with it. But him coming out and, you know, basically berating Donald Trump, which I'm not here to defend Donald Trump. He's a big boy. He can defend himself. But basically going on this tirade how he wanted to punch Donald Trump in the face. He's an idiot. He's a moron. He's a dog. I mean, I can go on and on about the stuff he said. I'm sure this was more, you know, PG in his mind. I'm like, what kind of example are you setting for yourself? I mean, are we reaching this point, Jeff, where we're actually going that far? So what if somebody went out and said it the other way and talked about Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton in this manner? Wouldn't it be a double standard? So for that, Robert De Niro, first of all, you're a hypocrite, because you want to talk about how Donald Trump's throwing insults and slurs and he's being a moron and he's not being a presidential statter type of person. What are you doing? You're basically just doing the exact same thing. So you know what? Robert De Niro, and I love the Godfather epic. I watched it every single time it's on HBO. But you know what, Robert De Niro?
You know what? You just made the list.
Yes, Robert De Niro. I wanted to go for an A-lister right here.
Wow, so Josh Lambeau and Robert De Niro made the list, and they're going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting it. But, yeah, I go there. Like I said, we've had Peter Wolfinger on, too, and it's just, guys, we know we all have a particular preference of what we want to do. But again, we all have to kind of handle it in a mature fashion. I mean, when you go out there and you're a celebrity, right? So you're in the public eye and you have to hold yourself to a certain degree and you go that route. How can I respect you anymore?
And remember, folks, this will happen every single week on the Highest Spot Podcast. And listen.
Oh, there'll be more names on the list.
Don't cross us. One. Because if so, this will happen to you.
You know what? You just made the list.
And on that, my friend, you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Matt, shout out to Chris Hamill and the Brain Stew Radio Network. Follow them on Twitter at Brain Stew Radio.
I can say one thing about Chris Hamill, and this was kind of, I wanted to say this early on in the show too, but I'm just so grateful, and not kissing Chris Hamill's butt here, but I was so grateful. We celebrated his birthday party, and it was great. Great group of people around, and had a great time. And it's just unfortunate we had to leave early because I got to stay there all night as well. But it's just so great that we have a platform which we can share our views and thoughts. And I thank Chris Hamill and Brain Stew Radio for allowing us to do that. So you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and remember that name because it's going to be a big deal, not in the future, pretty soon. So remember that name. Because it's going to be relevant very, very soon. And after listening to this episode, your life is just going to be too sweet.